I want to share an encouragement and want to stand up. Lord, we are praising you for this wonderful time at this conference, that your stream is flowing so wonderful between us, because we have tasted your good and we desire to eat more from you, Lord. Bless every part of your body and every brother and sisters to touch you and to be fully satisfied. We want to look into your appearance, Lord, and to touch you. Lord, we praise you. I'm assuming that you're hearing me. I'm not seeing you. This hurts me a little, but I do have you in my heart. Praise the Lord for this wonderful time.
Aber mit unserem Herzen und dem Wunsch, den Herrn zu treffen, mit den Heiligen zusammen voranzugehen. Ah, das ist so kostbar. Und dafür loben wir den Herrn. Ja, wir loben ihn, weil er so reich zu uns spricht. Und ich bin immer noch sehr ermutigt von der vergangenen Winterkonferenz, die wir hatten zusammen. Und da hat der Herr uns schon wirklich im Geist hinweggenommen, hat uns
The Lord took us away in spirit, revealed to us what he's doing. We were together in Revelation 5, and there, that was our starting point. I'd like to read this verse in Revelation 5, verse 5, where it says, one of the elders said, don't weep. Sometimes we feel like crying, like weeping. The circumstances in which we are in are quite different sometimes, and there we have discouragement and things want to depress us. But I'm happy about this word of tonight, don't weep. Because why? Because the root of David has overcome. And this is no one else than this is our Lord Jesus, our Lord, our bridegroom, our friend, our brother. He's our Lord and he's with us even tonight, no matter where you are. This Lord can feel with you. He's in us and he knows what we need. He knows what his church needs, and he's available for each one of us. And here we want to dive into that, want to continue and see what the Lord is doing. It is so important to have a goal in life for each person. Without a goal, our life is goalless. You have no drive, no motivation. You don't know where to go and why. But we have a wonderful Lord who has given us his spirit, who's in us and who wants to reveal himself to us. And this is our concern in these days, that we see what the Lord God wants to do. Let's read together, no matter where we are, in the hall in Stuttgart, at home, in Bonn, in Karlsruhe, in the meeting halls. Let's read the title together, which is written also on our outline. Here we read, the river of water of life coming, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. The river of water of life proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. We are continuing to go on in these days and in the Word. And now let's open up Revelation again. I'd like to read Revelation 22 with you now. The verses 1 through 5, and I am not really sure if I ask you, the saints in Stuttgart to read these verses, please, the technology service, can you give me a feedback whether we can hear you all? We can hear you. So please, could you read Revelation 22, 1 through 5 for us? And he showed me a river of water of life, bright as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb in the middle of its street. And on this side and on that side of the river was the tree of life, producing 12 fruits, yielding its fruit each month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. And there shall no longer be any curse, and the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his slaves shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be on their forehead, and night shall be no more. And they have no need of the light of a lamp and the light of the sun. For the Lord God shall illumine them, and they shall reign forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Ja, lob den Herrn.
Praise the Lord.
Und zeigte mir.
And he showed me. Amen. He showed us. And he showed you. He is showing. Our God is showing. He's showing to me, to you, to us. He was showing me a river of water of life, bright as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb in the middle of its street. What a wonderful view that we have here. I don't know where you are tonight, but the Lord is currently showing us a wonderful river, a wonderful vision. He doesn't show us something that is not that is unreal or that is just an idea of people, but what we see here is the reality. We see here what God has prepared for us in spirit, a high goal, but not that high that we cannot reach it. It's a goal that can be reached and that we can reach, because he himself is the way to there. And he's everything we need for that. And what we see here in Revelation 22 is building up on what is written in Revelation 21. Here we see a new heaven in verse 1 and a new earth. And we see the new Jerusalem. And we see also in verse 4 that all the tears will be wiped away, wiped off. There will be no crying, nor suffering, nor sorrow, nor crying, nor pain shall be no more. We have a speaking God. He's living and he speaks. He speaks to everyone. He speaks to everyone, to the small ones, to the great ones, to the young ones, to the old ones. In difficult situations, our God speaks and he says, "Behold, I make everything new." And in 21 and 22, he shows us this wonderful river. And we want to discover it. We don't only want to understand it and know that in chapter 2 in Revelation there is a river. It's flowing there and then I'll see it one day. No, today we want to experience it. It is even real in our spirit, even today, because it's our living God himself. And what I'm appreciating about our Lord, about our living God, is that he has such a concern to reveal himself to persons, to human beings. God wants to reveal himself to us. This is so precious. And this is something special. because God loves you, because God is interested in you personally. And if we just understand a little what God has done in order to be able to reveal himself to us, this will make my heart warm. Each time I hear it, it warms me up because God is so big and did such a great work, but he still has done it for you individually, personally. I would like to go back all the way to the beginning, because this flowing of life is not a topic. It's not just a point that we want to deal with now, because we've reached this point now, but we are able to see that God is living and that God's life flows from the beginning to the end. And it is important for us to touch this life, that we are in contact with him himself, not just once, but all the time. And tonight, my desire is that this burden gets stirred up, this joy gets stirred up. Lord, I want to know you as you are. I don't know how old you are, where you are at. Doesn't matter. The Lord wants to reveal himself to you. He wants to give himself to you as the river of water of life. And I go back with that now to Genesis 1. One, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. There was nothing, and God started to create something. He created a base, on foundation on which we could live and with on which he could fellowship with us, and he wanted to reveal himself to us. And then in chapter 2, verse 8, it's so precious here. We know all these verses very well. We've read them a lot. But here it says in Genesis 2:8, the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden. He planted a garden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground the Lord God made every tree grow that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now a river went out of Eden. Amen. Our God has created such a wonderful environment in order to get into contact with us. When we see today how the world has become and what has happened, from the beginning it was not like that. God, the Lord, had created a wonderful place for us to have fellowship with him. He didn't want to be separated from you. He wanted to be so near to you. And for that, he did everything. He created a garden in order to have fellowship, that we can come together, that we can come to him, and that we could receive of him himself, of the tree of water of life and the water of life. And this goes through to the New Testament. Even here in Romans chapter 1:20, he's showing for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world, being apprehended by the things made, are clearly seen. How can God make it clearly seen? Because he's so interested in you. Because he's got such a desire to reveal himself to you. In Acts, there are verses that I'm appreciating very much. In Acts 17, verse 24, the same is said here as in Genesis 1. The God who made the world and all things in it, this one, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands. Neither is he served by human hands as though he needs anything, since he himself gives to all life and breath and all things. Why are we seeking our satisfaction in other things instead of coming to the Lord? It's just a question in between. You can answer it for yourself. While He is the one who gives us life and breath and everything, and He made from one every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, determining their appointed seasons and the boundaries of their dwelling. Why? Verse 27, that they might seek God, if perhaps they might grope for Him and find Him through, although He is surely not far from each one of us. I'm not sure what you're seeking. I don't know if something missing, if you have a lack of something, but if you've got a desire to get to know this God who we know in the church life, if you want to get to know Him too, the God who we know, I can assure you 100% that you will find Him, because He wants to be with you. He wants you. This is such a wonderful promise. And He is someone who likes to reveal Himself. When I read the Gospels, I like this place in Mark 4. There He has got fellowship with His disciples, and the Lord often speaks in parables, and often the disciples feel like we often feel. They didn't understand what He said in Mark 4:33. And in many such parables He spoke the word to them as they were able to hear. And without a parable He did not speak to them, but privately to His own disciples He explained all things. Brothers and sisters, we've got such a wonderful time in the conference. We are among us, among each other. And the Lord wants to reveal Himself. If there are things you don't understand, if something's blocking you, go to the living God. Go to our Lord Jesus. He can explain us everything, and He will reveal Himself. And then at the end, John 17, verse 3, and this is the eternal life. And this is eternal life, that they may know You, the only true God, and Him whom You have sent, Jesus Christ. It is wonderful that we are able to see Him, to know Him. Do you have the desire to know Him better? Tell Him, Lord Jesus, I want to know You even more. Yes, Lord Jesus, we want to know You more. You need to show Yourself more to us. We want to see You as You are. We want to know You more, Lord Jesus. Yes, Lord Jesus. You see this vision, right, in Revelation 22. This wonderful throne. And there you see the living God, and there this Lamb is sitting, and from there a river is starting to flow, and it starts from the beginning of the Bible, going through the whole Bible until the end of it, from eternity past to eternity future. He's flowing, and He wants to reach us. This is such a wonderful picture, and I ask you tonight, what does it have to do with you? Does it touch you? What does it tell you? What is it working in you? And another question, where are you tonight? Where are you tonight? Where are you standing at? Where am I? I'm standing here in our living room in Pforzheim. That's geographically right. But where are we today? And from God's point of view, when He looks at people, where is He? I wrote, know your position. The question is, are you really aware where you are at, where you're living, what it's all about today? And from God's point of view, man, well, there are there are regenerated ones, they have gotten to know him and they have received the Lord, and then there are people who are not saved. And when we skip over to Ephesians 2, then we see it is so important, it is decisive actually for us to have received the Lord Jesus into our heart. Here in Ephesians 2, in chapter 2, verse, he says, "You were dead in your sins and trespasses. The man without God is dead." He's actually, in other words, separated from God. He doesn't understand what God wants. He cannot see it. When Nicodemus came to the Lord and spoke with him and asked him about his kingdom, then the Lord said, Nicodemus, you cannot see the kingdom of God. And in Ephesians 2, verse 5, although even when we were dead in offenses, when we were dead, that means nothing flew. Nothing was flowing. Nothing works anymore. It's nothing goes. It's just dead. The last thing is death that happens. But that's not what we are determined for, what we are destined for. We are destined for a life, and this life must flow, and therefore we need to be living. How can we be living? I still remember very well. I was a bit younger, maybe I was 18 years old. Someone came to me, and it was in the context of a young people's meeting. It was abroad, and he asked me in English, "Michael, are you saved?" And I asked myself, what does he want from me? Is there any danger? What happened? And he explained to me, a man that has not received the Lord Jesus in his life, in his heart, cannot experience God and is dead. Don't you want to receive Jesus into your heart? Don't you want to receive eternal life? Don't you want to know God and understand why you have been created on this earth? And I thought, well, why not? I was far away from all my friends and people who knew me, who would have mocked at me and who would have said, "You read the Bible? What?" And I did it secretly. This question did not leave me alone, and so I did it secretly. And he told me there is a very simple way to receive Jesus into your heart. That is, believe with your heart that he is, that he died for you, and then confess it with your mouth and say, "Lord Jesus, come into my heart." These are just simple words. How come that they are so simple? Because God wants to have you, because he doesn't want to make it difficult for us to come to him. Therefore, he gave us such an easy way. So each one who calls upon the name of the Lord, it says in Romans, will be saved. And you go from death to life. And just this alone is so tremendous, just to know that I have eternal life, God's life. I'm saved and I will not be judged. God is now my Father. As it is said in the Word, as many as he received him, he gave the power to be children of God, those who are believing in his name. And when you are those young people, I want to talk to you. We are all children of our parents. I want to talk to all of us. No one can reverse that anymore, no matter what happens. Sometimes, as children, we behave terribly, and our parents have a reason to worry about us. And they think, well, where is that child going? But no matter where you are, or no matter what the matter is, we remain children of the living God. Even though I say I don't want to be a child anymore of him, I'm sorry. Well, actually, I'm not sorry, but we cannot get out of that relationship anymore. We remain children of God. It will not change forever. No one is able to snatch us out of the Father's hand. And therefore, tonight, I want to tell you, someone who has doubts about his salvation, maybe you have done something wrong, you have not sought God, you have lied, you have stolen, nothing changes in that relationship. You remain a child of God. And the next good message, good news is, you can turn your heart. Just say simply, "Dear Father, forgive me for what I have done. Thank you, Lord, for your wonderful blood that you cleanse me." And then you can go on. And then thoughts come and say, "Well, there was this and that. What about that?" And then you can say, "I'm free. The Lord has cleansed me." This is a wonderful beginning of salvation, but don't stop at that. It continues. Tonight, I would like to encourage everyone, those who have not been baptized yet. Baptism is such a liberation. Faith, believing, and being baptized. When we get baptized, we are transferred into this wonderful body, transferred into Christ. And it's such a wonderful thing. And what does it need? What does it require? Do I have to make an exam before? Do I have to answer some questions, learn them by heart? Do I have to be proven 2 weeks without lying, or 1 week being nice with my parents, or make regularly homework, not copying from any neighbor? This is our religious laws that want to take us captives and want to prevent us from going to this living God. The Lord wants us to always come forward to Him. But there is an accuser, that is Satan. He wants to prevent us from coming to the Lord. He wants to discourage us. And the Lord wants us to come forward. And what is the qualification for baptism? Just that you believe. Simply believe and then take this step. If you've got the desire to get baptized, then go ahead. If you have not this desire, then let the Lord give you this desire. 1 Corinthians 12:12-13. "For even as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of the body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For also in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and were all given to drink one spirit." You see Michael here, you see my pullover, my glasses, my shirt. But when you get baptized, you put on Christ, you are baptized in Him, you are secure in Him. And when the enemy comes and attacks you and says, "Oh, see how bad you are," you say, "Yes, you're right, but I am in Christ. I am a new man. The old things have passed. Lord Jesus, I cannot do that, all that. I'm unable. But I have you. I'm in you." And this is such a liberation. I would like to discover that again and again. All those who are baptized already, I'd like you to transfer that. You are in Christ. You are transferred into Christ. And together with Christ, you are seated in the heavenlies. Ephesians 2, I'd like to read verse 6 to you. We are in Christ and raised us up together and seated us together in the heavenlies in Christ. And he says in chapter 1, high, far above all rule and authority and power and lordship. We have such a wonderful position, and we need to praise the Lord for that, because He paid such a high price to make it so easy for us. He gave himself for us fully. When you read the Gospels and you see, read what the Lord suffered for us, just how he started out already as a child in a manger, no space for him. Persecuted from the start, he had to flee. He was mocked at. Read Isaiah 53. He was a man of sorrows and of pain. I cannot really understand it because I have never suffered so much, but he left everything. And in the end, he left even himself. He left his life. He got spitted upon so that we can come forward to him. And we have to see that again and again and praise the Lord for that. When did you have you praised the Lord the last time for that you are in him, that he made paved the way for you, that we can come forward to him freely? Tell the Lord, Lord, I praise you that this way is free. And now we have to see, he showed us this wonderful river. He showed us this our wonderful position. Here is the river and this is my position, and I can experience the Lord. Both of them can come together. We have want to see that. And this is also what was written in the Psalms, in Psalm 46:5. Actually, I should read. I should read the title, God's Holy City and Christ's Dwelling Place. I am the Lord, put me as a member in the church. Maybe you are inspired or in Bonn or in Berlin, in New York, wherever you are. The Lord brought you into his house, into his body, practically. And in Revelation, we see this river, but it's so real and available for us in the church life. Behold, Psalm 46:5, there, verse 4 in English, there is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. We have such a river here in the church life. In Genesis, we saw that there the life flows. And then we go through the word. For example, in Ezekiel, let me just tell you briefly. We see this wonderful river that goes, that proceeds out, and where it goes, there it has a result. A river. He said, have you seen, son of man? Have you seen a river? It will happen that everything will live wherever this river goes. And here we see it's also proceeding from the threshold of the house, from the throne. There is a house where this water flows underneath of the threshold. And this is so precious. There is a river. And when I see Revelation 21, we'll have a look at Revelation 21 in verse 6, it says, and he said to me, they are come to pass. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give to him who thirsts from the spring of the water of the life. Of life, really. Why is he springing, flowing? Well, because he wants to reach us. Why does he take this image of this type of a river? Because we can understand it, we can taste it, we can drink it. I know how water tastes, how good clear water tastes, what it looks like. Whoever has stood in a mountain brook knows how clear it is as crystal. It's something special, right? It's so experimented. It's so available. And the Lord, that means that the Lord got broken for us. He triggered this river. It was not there before. People could not, had no possibility to touch him before. But then the Lord came and gave himself for us. And now when I read Psalm 105, he opened up the river. This world today is a desert. The world has no perspective. They go from crisis to crisis, and the world, but the word tells us that there will be no peace. There will be wars until the Lord comes back. But there is a river, and the Lord released this river. Oh, Lord Jesus, let me read it to you in John 19. There it is said in verse 34.
Da wurde diese Seite von dem Soldat durchbohrt. Johannes 19, Vers 34.
John 19:34. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and immediately there came out blood and water. And at the type here, this is the blood that cleanses us. We've seen we were saved from the Lord. We were transferred into him. We've got our boldness. If you've got no boldness, if you're lacking joy of the Lord, then come to the Lord and say, Lord, cleanse me with your blood. I repent. Repentance is an old word. That means I leave behind what is old. I excuse myself. I apologize. I've got a bad conscience, but I don't need to have it. There was something that was wrong, and I cleanse myself in this wonderful blood. In 1 John, it is said, when we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous, that he forgives our sins and cleanses us from all unrighteousness, not just from some. Really, the Lord really releases us. It's this precious blood. Blood was flowing, was shed, but in addition there was this life, the water of life was released. And this was what the Lord prophesied already. I am appreciating that so much. The Lord had said that already so much time before. The Lord speaks and it happens. The Lord speaks and it is there and it happens. We speak a lot and hold little. The Lord speaks a lot and he holds everything. 100%. You can fully rely on him. He did not promise too much. Sometimes I do exaggerate because I'm too strong maybe, but the Lord doesn't exaggerate. On the contrary, he's even more glorious than you can ever imagine. We see so little. If we could see what great work we are in, we would not stay seated. Sometimes we see that we are depressed and bent down. And I don't know what is your goal in your life. I don't know what you want to reach in your life. Maybe you have a dream. Some young people have a dream. What is your dream? What is your goal? What do you want to reach one day? Maybe you have something very great that you want to reach when I'm great, when I'm adult, I want to do this and that. When I'm finished with my studies, I want to do this and that. Then this and that. Wow. This I want to have. I tell you one thing. No matter what you are desiring, where you're in, where the Lord brought you in, that is in himself, into his church life, in his plan, this is so much greater than whatever you can imagine and wish for. It's so precious. And this you have to discover and to praise the Lord for. I was running on the street and I got conscious that the Lord has a church. This is true. The Lord really has a church. It's nothing only in the Bible back then, but it's something for today, and I'm in it. Well, I'm in it. I don't know why I'm in it. Why did you choose me for the church? But I'm in it. It's so precious. And therefore, we really need to praise the Lord. Amen. Lord Jesus. And the Lord promised in John 7, well, I got off a little bit of my thread, but sometimes you just need to get off because of enthusiasm. So the Lord said in John 7, the Lord cried out saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink, in John 7, 37, 38. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. But this he said concerning the Spirit. And he became the Spirit. He went up, he ascended, and then he came back as the Spirit of that gives life. And today he wants to give this life. And he's this life-giving river. Rivers of living water will flow out of him. This is, he said, concerning the Spirit. This is the good news, you know. When you've received the Lord, you've received him as the Spirit. You know, you're a vessel like this glass here. This glass was made to be filled. There are glasses that are put in the shelf. Well, maybe they are a bit an artwork or so. You just have a look at them. They don't really have a function. But this glass has a function. It is supposed to be filled. Technically said, you are a vessel that the Lord wants to fill with himself. And you know, when you're not filled with him, and you get filled with him again and again, then you've missed your function. Then actually, I'm sorry to tell you that then your life is in vain. I can put many things into this glass, but it was not made for that. You were not made for this world. You were not made for the enemy filling you. There are many things that you can be filled with. There are department stores. There is something for everyone, for young, for old ones. The older ones, the older ones say there are so many attacks on these young people, and they have to fight with this and that. But dear older saints, honestly speaking, isn't with us the same? There are so many things that want to fill us. Do we really want to admit that? Do we really want to be filled with something else? We are destined to be filled with him. Lord, I want to be filled with you. And when the Lord fills us, from Ezekiel I read, where this river goes, everything will be healed. You know what happens when the water touches you? You know what happens when each day you get filled with this water, which is the Lord himself? It will 100% change you. I can 100% promise you, if you some days you drink this water, you will be filled. Or if you don't drink, you will die from thirst. And the same if you drink, it changes you. The same with the Lord. If you drink the Lord, it will change you. You can measure the Lord even and ask him to do that. Let's take 2 Corinthians. It is good to bring the word of God to the Lord. You can say, tell him, Lord, I experience that. Do you sometimes have the feeling of not experiencing the Lord? Have you told him that already? If that's true, did you tell him that you don't like it? That you don't experience him? You can tell him that. You can tell him this in a good way. You can even challenge him in a good way. Sometimes you challenge your parents, right? When you want something, at least my children do challenge me a lot, often. I realize whether they really want something or not. When the Lord realizes that you really want something. Here in 2 Corinthians, chapter 4, it says here, we didn't say where.
nicht des Buchstabens, sondern des Geistes. Denn der Buchstabe tötet,
aber
der Geist macht lebendig. Und in Vers 18
the spirit,
sagt
er, Vers 17, the, the letter kills, but the spirit gives life. And in verse 18 it says, the Lord is the spirit, and where the spirit, here in 2 Corinthians 3, you say the Lord is the spirit, and I don't feel that I'm free. You see, say where the spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And I'm not free, Lord. I want to experience this word. Let me experience it. And you say that all with an unveiled face, beholding and reflecting you as a mirror. Let me experience that. This will happen when we really touch the Lord in this word and touch this river of water of life, clear as crystal, that proceeds out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. This will change us. It will make us our glorious bride that is similar to Him. And honestly, you all those who are married, right, you really looked carefully who to marry, right? And you took time to choose carefully. And you said, not this direction, but that direction. This should be my bride. And the Lord has a very high standard. And He knows exactly what His bride has to look like, what He desires her to be. And His bride are we, brothers and sisters. He wants to transform us into His image. How? By touching this wonderful life, letting it flow into us. Don't forget, this life has power. It raised the Lord from among the dead. I don't know anyone who raised from the dead except for one. Jesus Christ. He was not able to be held by death. This life could not be held. This life that resurrected Jesus from the dead is flowing tonight as this life. Not sometime, but tonight, today. It's supposed to flow into us. I want to encourage you, let this life reach you. And I tell you also, unfortunately, by my own experience, when I was young, there was a phase where I thought, put other things into there, just a little bit, try. We'll be okay. I can, if it doesn't taste good and it's not good for me, I can change all the time. But the experience was that finally I found myself far away from the Lord. Finally, I didn't even know if I was saved or not. In the end, that I realized that I had lost everything that was important to me, and I thought, well, that's it. But there was repentance. I called upon the Lord and started to call upon Him. Or as in this picture of tonight, I started drinking this life. I didn't know what would happen there. But for me, until this day, this was a really impressive experience. When I started calling upon the name of the Lord consciously, not just because people told me one day to do it, but I was so much in need and I was so thirsty and I wanted Him to touch me. I needed to be saved. I didn't have any other option, and I can really testify the Lord saved me. The Lord saved me, turned my life, and He brought everything, corrected everything. But until this day, I'm allowed to drink of this river. As if I don't do that, if you go out and don't do it anymore, it's not a matter of visiting, of attending the meetings, but it's a matter of this personal relationship that you have to take care of every day. No one can do that for you. Maybe you're still here because your parents are here and they say you go because we go, and you fortunately have not said, no, I'll do something else. No, maybe you're in front of the monitor, you're somewhere listening to the meeting, but still, you know, it requires this decision again and again that you say, Lord, I want you fully, I want this, to experience this river, I want to get into it, into what I'm destined as a human being And this takes a decision, needs a decision. And when I was young, I had a believing grandmother, and she always told me, Michael, you have to decide fully for the Lord. And I said, Grandma, I received the Lord. I decided that already. But he said the last step that makes you fully free. What do you mean by that? I asked. Well, she meant that I should fully decide for the Lord. Not just, yes, the Lord is also in my life, but to say, Lord Jesus, I want to fully give myself to you for your plan. I don't know how all that works. I don't understand so many things, but I tasted that you are good and that you have a good intention with me. And as the disciples that went fishing out to that lake, and in the morning they took the Lord into the boat, and the Lord said, throw out your nets again. And Peter said, well, actually, fishing is not like that. It should be done in the night, not out here, not where it's not that deep, but upon your word, I'll do that. And they threw out their nets again, and they became full of wondering, and they're full of fear when they realized how many fish they were taking out. And when they came to the land, they said, did not say, now we open up a fish market as big as you can ever never imagine. Sometimes there are nice offers that are presented in life, and you could actually accept that. But maybe it's something that would bind your heart. And maybe that the Lord, and then you would give to the Lord only part of your heart, and you will never be satisfied. But if you give your heart to the Lord wholly, and first you seek His kingdom, because where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And if your treasure is the Lord, then the Lord will give at everything else. I can really testify, the Lord took care of everything, and He takes care. So my last point, actually it's not a point, therefore it's so decisive that you take a decision. And I speak to every one of us tonight. Don't rely on how long you are in the church life already. It is not important. It's a matter of the relationship. I cannot say, because I've been married with my wife for 20 years, now it will continue like that and everything will be fine. If I don't take care of that relationship, it will go down the drain. So if we don't decide for the Lord and develop that desire to give ourselves fully to the Lord, and that doesn't mean that I have to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning or preach the gospel and do this and that, go to every meeting and I do this service and that and here and there. This is the enemy. He just wants to put a mountain in front of you so to take away all the joy in the Lord. But just say, Lord Jesus, I give my heart to you because I love you, because I really want you, and all the other things the Lord will do. He will not ask too much of you. He will not overcharge you. He in you is so capable. When you cooperate with Him, then it's so precious. Tell the Lord, Lord Jesus, I want you fully. And tell also people around you who you belong to. That was also my protection in school and in my studies. People knew who I belonged to, and so they dealt with me in a different way. And it gave me often the opportunity to talk about Him. And I said, I believe in Jesus Christ. Oh, really? Strange. I said, yes, He can be experienced. Call upon the name of the Lord. Come into this fellowship, and you start boasting and being enthusiastic about the Lord, about what you have heard, what you tasted, what you felt, groped of the Lord. We want to be those who in this time, The Lord requires people. It's just His counsel that He doesn't do His work on this earth alone. He doesn't finish it alone. He could have done it. He has created the whole universe. Look at the stars outside and the heaven of stars. It's so impressive, right? He could have done and could have finished everything by Himself. Could finish this age just by Himself, but because He's so glorious and so great, He has no doubt that He could do it, manage it with you and with His church. But He shows us also how, and this how is we come to Him because we decide every day for Him, especially tonight, and say, Lord, I give my heart to You. I will want to fully have You. I want this to know this river of water of life together with my family and my place with the brothers and sisters. I don't want to be somewhere else, not here where it's so good and there, and no, where you are, it's good. And there the river of water of life is the same. It proceeds out of the throne and it reaches you when you want it. You say, Lord, I want it. This is my concern for every one of us. Tell the Lord tonight, Lord, I want, and I want You fully. I give myself fully to You. Praise the Lord. Amen.